reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord said to Noah, "Go to the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and its mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and its mate, and 7 pairs of the birds of the air also, male and female, to keep their kind alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened. The rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah with his sons Shem and Ham and Japheth and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons entered the ark. They and every wild animal of every kind and all domestic animals of every kind and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth and every bird of every kind, every bird, every winged creature. They went into the ark with Noah, 2 and 2 of all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. The flood continued 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark. And it rose high above the earth. The waters swelled and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth," God said. "This is a sign of the covenant that I make between you, me and you, and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A decade ago, there was a recurring sketch on Saturday Night Live that featured Amy Poehler and Maya Rudolph. They played talk show hosts for what was known as the Bronx Beat. They'd interview people. But in one little 15-second clip that became really famous, Maya Rudolph's character says, "You know what? At least the weather's turned. It's sweater weather. Finally, sweater weather." And they go back and forth, "Ah, sweater weather, sweater weather, sweater weather." If you hadn't noticed, it's now become sweater weather here, too. We reached that time a few days ago, and if you're like me, you may have brought some sweaters out of the drawer or from the back of the closet to the front of the closet. You've noticed that leaves are starting to turn. And of course, the days are shorter. The calendar even tells us that a couple days ago, it was the autumnal equinox. It's the change of seasons. It happens every year. Some of us look forward to it, and some of us dread it, depending on what the season is. For those of us in the northern clime, it means colder weather and shorter days are coming. For those who live in coastal regions, it means tropical cyclones. In other places, seasonal wind shifts bring monsoons. It can be really, really hard. Gigantic winds and massive amounts of water. The seasons come, the seasons go, the cycle repeats. Today's story of the Great Flood is a story of seasons. It's a story about God. It's a story about people. It's a story of promise. But it's a really long story, and if I jump too quickly to the part about seasons, you might miss the hard parts. And if we gloss over the hard parts, you might think that it's a quaint story about a man who heard a call from God, took up carpentry, and then ran a floating zoo while watching for rainbows. It's a long story and an old story. A story remembered by people who know that catastrophic things can happen, sometimes with only a remnant surviving. It's a story told by people who know that in-between times can feel endless. And it's a story told by people who know that sin and brokenness and separation are part of this life. But mostly, it's a story about God. It begins way, way back at the beginning, when God brought order to the cosmos, as the ancients tell it. God spoke a word and there was light. And then God separated light from darkness. There was evening and morning, a first day. And then on the second day, God separated the water. We might miss that one. In the midst of massive amounts of water, God placed a dome or a canopy to separate the water from above from the water below. I like to imagine it as a giant mixing bowl upside down, or maybe a Tupperware container with a cover that's now on the bottom. The part that's in the container defines a space for air to breathe. The dome is the sky. In time, God created creatures of every kind, and God made humans in God's own image. God said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And God saw what God had made, and God said that it was good. But it wasn't long before all was not right with the world. People longed to have what didn't belong to them. They committed violence against one another, and they even learned to kill each other. God saw the corruption and violence on earth, and God was sorry for having made humans. And God was sad to see what the humans had brought about. So God said, "I will blot them out, and I'll begin all over again. I'll save one family and a pair from every species, and with them I will try again." That's a hard part of the story that we'd rather not think about too long. How can we bear God's judgment? Is it retribution that God has in mind? In the natural order of things, actions have consequences. We forget to water the house plants and they wilt. We feed the dog too much and she's overweight. We stay up too late and it's hard to wake up. My kids are grown now, but when my kids were young, one morning my son missed the bus. I think it had happened more than once. And my husband decided that the natural consequence was that he was going to have to walk 2 miles in the rain uphill to school. I'm only exaggerating a little. It really was raining. And so Dave set out with an umbrella in hand, an umbrella that would have been enough to help shield Matt. But in defiance, Matt trailed behind, trudging his feet, sad that he was walking to school and would be very late. And back at home, I, the mom, was left to create a puddle of tears of my own. It's hard to see the consequences that come to our kids. And so it is in the story of the Great Flood. Actions have consequences. It's the people's corruption that leads to destruction. In Hebrew, the words in the story, corruption, shares the same root as the word destruction. People's corruption and the world's destruction are related. Human violence and corruption set in motion Earth's destruction. God describes what will happen. and then the waters of the flood come. The fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven opened. God said that God would blot it out, but it's not God who's the subject of the verbs. The dome that God used to separate the waters from above and the waters from below was breached, and there was water everywhere. Waters from above and waters from below. One summer we had so much rain at our house, the water began to gurgle up through cracks in the basement floor. I'd go outside and I'd look at the sky and see that the rain was continuing and it was gray and there was no hint of blue at all. I'd walk across the yard to examine around the house and I'd slosh through the puddles in the lawn. Then I'd go down to the basement and I'd stare at the crack in the floor and shake my head in disbelief. We knew that there were ways to grade around your house so that water would run away. But when the water's coming from below, what can you do? It was a feeling of being helpless and out of control. All we could do was wait and wonder and hope. In the story of the great flood, Noah and his family, with a pair of every wild and domestic animal and every creeping thing, enter the ark, and God shuts them in to preserve them. God had told Noah how to create a safe space. And then it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. The waters swell and cover every bit of earth until there is no dry land, and every living thing on earth dies. That's the other part that we tend to gloss over. People and animals and creeping things and birds of the air all were blotted out. The waters continued to swell in the earth for 150 days. And then God remembered Noah and all the animals that were with him. It wasn't that God had forgotten, but God was moved to act. God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains were closed, and the windows in heaven were shut. When it was safe to do so, God called the people and the animals out of the ark, and God made a promise right then and there. "Never again will I curse the ground because of humankind and their inclination for evil," God said. "Never again will I destroy them all." Instead of using divine power, God promises an orderly cosmos for the continuation of life. Instead, the seasons will come and go. In this reading, God promises over and over that this will never happen again. And the first time God makes the promise, God says, "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." The cyclical nature of seasons will continue. As surely as the leaves are turning shades of red and orange and yellow now, and the ground will be frozen and blanketed in white, but in the spring the sun's warmth will bring signs of life. Verdant greens will cover treetops and fields once again. As surely as the winds of tropical cyclones threaten life in coastal regions each year, there is a pattern and the winds will cease. A rainbow in the sky following a storm serves as a reminder of the orderly cosmos. Humans were not changed by the flood. We still engage in violence against one another and against the earth. We still have the capacity to inflict great damage to ourselves and our environment through war and global warming. Actions still have natural consequences, and we don't know what harm we might yet inflict through climate change or nuclear war. It was God who was changed by the flood. God made a promise to Noah and all of humankind that mercy would be God's way in the world. God will deal with sin and evil through God's own suffering and death. Just as in the beginning of this story, God was sorry for having created the world and sad to see the violence that humans had brought, God will continue to open the divine heart to the world and God will continue to grieve for human sin and corruption. God's mercy and compassion for humankind would one day bring God to enter our world as one of us. God came to us in Jesus. And as Catherine Schifferdecker has noted, when human sin and corruption became so great that they threatened to overwhelm the world of God again, it is God himself who entered into the waters of a woman's womb, into the waters of the Jordan, to show once and for all that God is passionately committed to God's creation. The story of the flood is an ancient story, one that might be so familiar we've forgotten its potency, its promise, its peril. But it's a story for people who are in tight spaces, for people whose lives are at risk. It's a story that tells us God is with us, and there is nothing that will separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That promise is sure. God has given us this home, this earth, for life to thrive. May we remember this story and work with God to create safe places where all God's creatures might thrive. Amen.